Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Judge Dad's Verdicts. I'm Sean McMillan. This is my co-host, Rich Morrow.
Yo, yo.
McMillan and Morrow, we're back, people. Thank you for tuning in. We're here to discover, to talk about the ridiculous, the sublime, the interesting, and all the rest. Ain't that right?
All of that. I can't wait.
Okay.
You ready for this?
I don't know. I never know what you're going to give me and bring to the table. I brace myself in advance.
That's a good idea. That's a very good idea. You know, we're going to start actually in your hometown,
New York City.
New York,
all right.
Yes, sir.
Oh, wait, let's pause. Applause from New York City, people. We love it. Shout out to New York.
So I'm curious to know if you've heard about this. According to Pix 11, the No Pants subway ride has been canceled again. Do you know what the No Pants subway ride is?
No, what is that?
You haven't heard about it. Okay, so believe it or not, after occurring 19 years in a row, so this is since 2002, it was halted during the pandemic and is yet to resume again. So it's basically an event where people ride the various trains on the subway in the middle of winter with no pants.
These are white people? Because I can't see any black people doing this. Y'all know I'm not racist. I love all of God's children. But no. Before you go further,
I'm not going to say anything. I'm trying to catch my breath.
We have, in the world, we have white people mess. Yes. And we have black people mess. I got a list. Hold on.
Okay.
White people hear a sound.
Mm-hmm.
They want to go check it out.
Yeah. We don't do that. No.
No, here's what we do. Black people mess. We talk to the movie. Like people can hear us. You know what I'm saying? The movie going on. Black people, don't do that. They can't hear
you. Don't go over there.
So when I say this is white people mess,
it feels that.
Acknowledge the mess of all communities.
Mm-hmm.
This is definitely white people mess.
Okay, well, it says only seven half-naked people participated in the first one that happened in 2002, right?
Okay.
Since then, there's been approximately over 2,000 New Yorkers that have undressed for the winter event. So, I don't know. Out of 2,000, you think all of them are white? I don't know.
The overwhelming majority. I have no doubt. I will bet all the money in my pocket against all the money in your pocket.
So you think 100%?
90%.
90?
I don't know
if I'd take that bet.
And the black ones are black people who grew up around white people.
Or somewhere cold where they just... No, I can't even sell that. You're right.
You're from Cleveland.
I am.
Right. I'm from Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Also Queens, also Harlem. I lived all over. Nobody I know is getting on the damn train with no pants on.
Okay, so that leads you to my question.
Which is what?
So since you're from New York, mm-hmm. if you were waiting for the train and you were on your way, say to shoot this.
Yeah.
And the train pulled up and it was full of half-naked people, would you get on it?
Depends on how they look.
That's a good answer.
I mean, if you're sexy, I want to be in the train. Okay.
So would you feel out of place then once you got on the train and feel like, all right,
no,
I got to take my pants off too?
Are you high?
I'm just asking, are you going to have to take your pants off?
Did you just ask me that? Would I feel like I want to take my pants off?
Would you feel obligated to once you got on the train?
Let me lay this
out. I
want
to see this.
I'm not as sexy as you are.
Okay.
All right? You a good looking guy.
Okay.
I take my pants off, it's going to be a different reaction. Okay. I'm not taking my pants off. That's never happening.
What if everybody, there's so many probably different types of people that are already on there, you wouldn't feel
just
comfortable.
Say what you want to say, different bodies.
I'm just saying, different body types. So you wouldn't have to be self-conscious about that if everybody's already doing it.
What kind of logic is that?
It's New York.
No, let's go through that sentence structure. You wouldn't have to be self-conscious about it if everybody's doing it.
I mean, you wouldn't be alone.
What?
You wouldn't be alone
so
in
the
it.
The only reason people are self-conscious is if they happen to be alone?
Look, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it could be one of the reasons
that people
become
self-conscious. Here's what I'm saying, Morrow.
Okay.
I'm not taking my damn pants off on the train. It's not happening.
Okay. That's all
now,
you had to say.
I will get on the train if there's some good-looking, half-naked people.
Okay. But you're going to sit there fully clothed the whole
time? Yes.
Okay.
No. And not just for aesthetic reasons. I'm not into...
Yeah, I feel you. You're not a nudist.
I'm not, no. Would you...
I mean, I'm a model too, so it kind of comes with my job. Sometimes I have to deal with it, an actor as well. So I don't really think about it. You know what I mean? I'm not ashamed of my body. I'm proud of it.
If I had that body, I'd be proud of it too. That's not a stretch, by the way. But you didn't answer the question. You're so really good at question? That. If you got on the train, if you got on the train, and there was half naked people on there,
okay,
would you feel the urge to sort of reveal your packages?
I would have to say the same thing as you initially. It depends on how they looked if I'm getting on a train at all. But if they pass the look test, I may have a good time when I get on.
It's not an answer to the question.
You know?
Yes, you would. Or no,
I might join them. Yeah. Why not? I couldn't be the only one fully clothed because I feel like I would get pressured to take my pants off if I was the only one with pants on.
Let me give you some advice. Okay.
Not that peer pressure runs my life or
anything. Yeah, no. That's what we're discovering.
I just told you I'm comfortable with my body,
can
though.
I give
so
some
it's
advice?
Like, let's have a party.
Can I give you some advice?
Okay, go ahead.
A, keep your damn pants on.
Okay.
Okay? And B, just because the whole world is doing it.
Don't mean I should.
Can I complete my own sentence?
You're right. It was my mom talking to me. She used to tell me that growing up.
Let me look at the camera. Just because somebody's doing something does not mean that it's good for your life. People can be engaged in all kinds of behavior and ways of being in the world. And just because they surround you does not mean it's a legitimate reason for you to indulge or to engage.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I know you do, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I was going to say like 90-something percent of the time. You know, there's times where sometimes you just got to have fun.
I'm 100% of the time.
Sometimes you just got to have fun, you know?
No, ain't that much damn fun in the
world. What if it aligns with something that you've maybe deep down been like, maybe I would do that, you know, if the opportunity presented itself. And now this is one of those opportunities. Then it's not really not thinking for yourself. It's just like, oh, I'm just going to take advantage of this opportunity.
Well, if that were the case, you wouldn't need to be in a train full of naked people to have done it, right?
You just haven't had the opportunity where enough people have been doing it with you for you to get away with it.
But you just proved my point. Every time you get on the train, you could do it. You're only doing it now because other people are doing it. Hey. And I'm saying, be an individual.
You're right.
Think for yourself.
Okay.
Decide on your own terms.
So that brings me, and then we can wrap this up. Funny point. So what if only one person hopped on the train with no pants on? How do you think that would go?
What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at just thinking about this scenario with you in it. You would definitely judge them and say something.
Wow. You think I judge people?
You would judge somebody that got on the subway without pants on in the winter.
In New York, I would probably not even notice.
See?
In New York, I wouldn't even notice that they were in the world.
See, that's the problem with New York right there.
Wow.
It is, though.
Well, we mind our business. unless it intrudes into our space and our life,
yeah,
we really
it's like
don't
a bubble
care.
Around.
If one person got on the train with no pants on, I would, depends on how they look.
Truth be told, nobody probably would say anything, I believe, too.
In New York, nobody would say anything.
Yeah, I know.
As long as you don't pee on anybody or shit on the train or sit on somebody's lap, no one cares.
That's so true, though.
You really started out with an interesting little story.
It was an interesting one, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I kind of want to come back to you not wearing pants.
Well, we could talk about that on this next story because it has something to do
because
with
it. Because of peer pressure.
Yeah, right. No. So we're going to go overseas. According to LAD Bible, L-A-D Bible, in Spain this year, a court ruled that a nudist could continue to walk the streets naked. So we talked about a story before. You remember the case of the Spanish man who showed up to court naked? I don't know if you remember or not.
Vaguely.
Okay. We have a ruling, and the ruling was that he could continue doing it. He won his battle, arguing that he's not doing any of it for some sort of unusual sexual reason, but just because he wants to and prefers nakedness over being clothed. Although I'm sure that was probably always his claim. I don't know what new arose, but apparently they ruled in his favor. He claims that he's been attending nudist beaches in Spain since he was a child, and he started wandering the streets near his house back in 2020. And he claims that nobody has a problem with it, and he's in his rights to do so. So apparently public nudity is not a crime in Spain, and that was changed in like the 80s. So
what was changed? It is a crime or it's not a crime?
It's not a crime. It was changed in the 80s, 1988. So,
I mean, I don't know. Contrary to what you may think, I'm actually very open-minded.
Yeah. No, I don't think that you're not.
I mean, you know this.
Yeah, I think you're
open-minded. In some ways, I'm more open-minded than you are.
Yeah, there's just things that you definitely have boundaries on that you just don't tolerate whatsoever. So,
let me refine the statement, if I may. There's certain things with respect to me doing them.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because I'm always aware. I'm self-conscious, I think, in a healthy way.
Yeah.
I know what my limits are. Mm-hmm. I know what my assets are. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm good at. I know what I'm not good at.
Yeah.
I know what I should be doing with this body. And I know what I should not be doing with this body.
Yeah.
And I celebrate people who are gifted at different things. So beautiful people, fit people, smart people, whatever. Go down the list, right? Mm-hmm. Tall people. These are all things that I wasn't blessed with.
Yeah.
So when I see that, I acknowledge it. I affirm it. I think it's great.
You appreciate it.
But it doesn't mean, though, that I want to see people walking down the street butt-ass naked.
Yeah. That's a lot.
And it's also kind of intruding on other people's right not to have to make a decision of whether or not it offends them. Mm-hmm. The body is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And so we should never be ashamed of it or think it's a bad thing for people. But, you know, there is such a thing as decorum. There's such a thing as respecting other people's right not to have to see something if it's, So I don't know if the Spanish law is a good idea or a bad idea.
I was going to say, how do you feel about the ruling? Do you think that he's within his rights to try to sue them for accusing him of obscene exhibitionism if they've ended up, ruling in his favor now? Do you think he has a case or?
I think in the great scheme of things, they're probably better reasons to sue a government.
Yeah, I would probably leave it alone if he got away with it.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem to me to be, but again, different people have different sort of things that sort of drive them. And if this is his thing, then bravo to him to fight for it.
Yeah, they tried to fine him up to like $2,500, but he had a bunch of people that were very supportive, they said, and got behind him, with it. And, in Europe, that openness way of thinking is a lot more accepted than, I don't know what that was.
I
don't know what that was.
Sounds like Tyler belching. Can you imagine if he belched like that? Like,
sound like a robot. Like, damn.
Sound like a whale.
Or a whale. But there are a lot more, I feel like, open-minded culture out there as opposed to America, where people are more open to those types of ideas. So I don't know how I feel about it. I think it would be, like you said, it should come with a certain decorum. There's certain environments where you wouldn't expect or want to see, especially knowing children are
around. I was just about to say, if I may, this should be like a zone where you can't do it.
Like a beach, beaches are.
Like around schools or like senior citizen places.
I agree.
They don't need to see that.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
You should know when you're in a potential nudist zone. You don't want to just get caught off guard and just got.
Yeah, they should create. I think that's a great idea. Create a zone.
Yeah.
And when you're in the zone,
Exactly.
If you don't want to see it, don't go to the zone.
I think that's a very reasonable solution.
But the question now is, would you go to the zone?
It depends on the zone's reputation and the kind of people that live in the zone. I ain't just going in the zone.
You don't want to see random nakedness.
No. I got to have some sort of organized nakedness going on.
I'm not going to the zone.
I'm not going.
Nah.
I mean, I don't really have a reason to unless there was something there that I needed to, go to. But, definitely don't want to get caught off guard by certain things. But, I wouldn't mind possibly, I don't know if I can say this on the air, turn around and just being flashed by some decent looking every now and then. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Just on your way to Whole Foods and you looking for the cantaloupe. Oh, wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, Doc. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, I feel like we should move on. We're going to go to London. According to Wales Online, a man who wants to live forever is spending £1,500 a month to reverse his aging. Do you think that that's a good investment? He's taking pills that are supposed to do something along the lines of biohacking, and he takes up to about 60 pills a day.
No, he's probably killing himself with all of this manufactured pharmaceutical
all in your body.
No, here it is. I'm clearly older than you.
Yeah.
And in a different stage of life. Aging is not, and I'm not old, by the
way. No, you're not. I didn't say that.
I know you didn't.
I'm just making sure.
Am I going to be allowed to finish any of these sentences without your assistance?
Maybe, maybe.
Really?
I can let you get a couple. Go ahead.
Back to our regularly scheduled programming. So, I think this. Mm-hmm. So, aging is something you just have to accept. It is the natural course of the universe. Like, you cannot not age. Now, there are things you can do to look good while you age. I think the real trick is to be at peace with it and to accept the stage that you're in. Because whenever you fight against what is deeply embedded in the natural order of things, mm-hmm. you not only ruin yourself, but you set yourself up for absolute failure.
Yeah.
You know, quite frankly, I don't want to be 20. I don't want to be 25. I don't even want to be 30. Like, I'm good being this, mm-hmm. which is part of the reason why I don't look how old I actually am.
You don't live by that, huh?
I don't worry about
yeah.
aging. I'm not so obsessed with it.
You know, something that I've learned as I've gotten older, because I've just turned 30 this last year. I'll be 31 actually soon. But one thing that I've learned as I've gotten older is that when I was younger and I looked at people that were, say, my age now, I always thought that they would feel and mentally think like, I don't know, like their age. Well, now that I am, you know, a little bit older, I still feel like that kid. If anything, I feel more like a kid sometimes than ever. And then when I speak to my grandmother, for instance, sometimes she even tells me about how, you know, she still feels like she's 21 some days, you know, mm-hmm. mentally. And it's crazy to me because I see people that live by their age, and you can tell when it's such a driving factor in their lives that a lot of the things they do are dictated by how old they are, what they feel like they should be doing. Yeah. But who the hell is to say? Everybody does things at different paces and different ages. That it's crazy to me that someone would pump 60 pills a day into their body just to feel like they're going to live forever, knowing that, and especially because of this too. It says that he wants to live forever and his mom died at 70 when she had cancer. Even if that were the case, the idea of living forever for me, especially from seeing movies and things like this, it gives you a lot to think about sometimes. But no, you would be leaving people behind.
It gives you nothing to think about.
It gives me, it starts that thought process.
No,
for me. I'm an actor. I have to think about these things.
Nobody's living forever.
I know that.
So let's stop with the crazy.
No, but I'm just
not
saying.
Not you, him.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's living forever.
I agree.
And no pill that's going to make your ass live forever.
You're right.
All right. And all those pills he's taking is probably killing him.
Yeah. It says that he's doing biohacking and there's five different levels, right? Have you ever heard of biohacking?
Yeah. It's called joy.
Yeah, that'll make you younger.
Biohack, love somebody. Let yourself
be loved.
Right?
Yeah.
Biohack, yeah. Gratitude. Get up every morning and say, I'm grateful that I'm not dead. I'm grateful that I'm not the fool I was 10 years ago.
And that is so true because you feel so alive when you're pumped with love and
putting them damn pills.
Excitement when you got something to look forward to. Yeah. That'll make you feel younger in itself sometimes.
You know, eat well, do some intermittent fasting,
yeah.
work out, and be grateful for all your blessings.
And you know, he was saying that it has to do with dieting and fasting. That's just level one. But he's trying to achieve all these levels by
pills. Mr. Morrow. He's trying to live forever.
Yeah, there's a difference.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
He's not trying to age well. He's under the misnomer that human beings can defy finitude.
Yeah.
We're mortal creatures. The word human, you know what it comes from?
No.
It comes from the Latin word humundo.
Okay.
You know what humundo means?
I do not.
The burying ones.
The burying ones.
The ones who bury.
That's deep.
Who
the hell knew that out there? Did y'all know that?
I
wonder how many humans knew that.
We are defined by our mortality.
Wow.
What makes us human is that we die.
We age and die.
We die. Now, that's not a scary thing.
I was about to say, that kind of scares me a little bit, but I get it.
Nah, it's not a scary thing. I understand it,
but it doesn't make it any less real than it obviously already is. So, you know, it's whatever. I get it. And yeah, the people out there that think that they're going to live forever, they're holding on to a fantasy that doesn't even make us human.
Well, first of all, who the hell's out there thinking they're going to live forever?
Clearly, this guy thinks he has a possibility if he can reverse, thinks he can reverse his age.
No, we are all mortal.
Yeah.
And we are going to die.
Yeah.
But how about this? Before we get there, let's have a good time.
Let's have a good time.
Let's love some folks.
Let's have a good time, y'all. I just want to have a good time.
He means that, too, by the way.
Yeah, I do. I actually do mean that. They know I mean that. They can see it in my face. I mean it.
Yeah, I think there are no pharmaceutical solutions for things that are inherently natural.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just how it is.
What do you think about them using, you know, stem cells and synthetic things to try to prolong people's lives? Do you think that
to me that's different?
Unhealthy?
Like stem cell research and that whole genre of research can be very good in combating diseases and all those. I'm all, totally for that.
Yeah,
that's about quality of life,
not
life into perpetuity.
Yeah,
you know that you can have a better quality of life.
Yeah,
but you're just not going to live forever. And quite frankly, you said it, and I cut you off because I was trying to make a different point, but you actually said something quite interesting and important. At a certain stage, if you talk to people who are older in their 80s and 90s, when all their friends are gone and all their family is gone,
they're about ready to go.
At a certain stage, life's become my mentor, Gardner Taylor, my mentor. You've heard, you know, I've talked about
him. I have.
Love Gardner Taylor. If you know me, you know I will. You say something about Gardner Taylor, and I will probably take your life. Gardner Taylor died when he was 97 years old. When he got to be in his 80s, he would talk about wanting death. His wife had died. All his friends were gone. So at a certain stage, you have a different relationship with life.
Yeah.
How you feel about living at 30 may not be how you feel about it at 90.
It sure ain't how I felt when I was 18 or 15.
So, you know what I'm saying? So you have to wait and just be in the stage that you're in and make the decisions when you get there. Some people get to 90 and they want to live more. I'm not saying everybody's Gardner Taylor, right?
Yeah.
But I'm saying you don't know.
Exactly. So be present.
So be here. Yeah. Be now. Why worry about 50 years from now and you have ruined today?
Yeah.
By taking 60 damn pills.
That's a word.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree.
You know how much time you must spend on the toilet?
It's like, have a good time, but don't.
Yeah, don't go crazy.
That much of a good
time. Yeah, don't go crazy with this, you know?
No, I agree. I agree. And, you know, I feel like there was so many great points in that, you know, quote that you just gave right there, by the way.
What quote?
Not really a quote, but, you know.
Oh, what I said?
Yeah, but what you just said.
I don't even remember what I just said, just to be honest.
About old people, you know, older people understanding that, you know, you just have to be present where you are. You can't focus on what's going to happen 50 years from now. You can't focus on, you know, even what's happened 50 years ago. Because realistically, you know, you're going to be missing out on the gift that we have, the present. That's why I think that's truly why they called it the present, because it really is a gift. And we forget that a lot of times, you know, getting preoccupied in our lives, of course. But I think that that's something that every single human can benefit and learn from, is just being present. That's what I wanted to end on. But
that was your little moment right there.
Little moment. But it moves us on to our next story, which takes us back to New York. And I think this is actually pretty cool.
Is this going to involve nakedness or something?
No, it's not. It actually is kind of on the topic of what we were just talking about, though.
Living forever?
No, but you'll see. You'll see what I mean. I don't know how to explain it. A cork company started to place QR codes on gravestones to tell stories of loved ones. Listen, though.
It's too much.
Grieving friends and families of deceased loved ones will now be able to tell the story.
Too much.
Of whoever passed away with pictures and videos thanks to the QR codes on graves. You don't like that? A little presentation for people, you know, that have passed away and you could.
Something about that just doesn't seem solemn. You know?
This is my thing. It makes me think, and I understand probably where you're coming from, but one thing that just came to mind for me was, okay, I have relatives and people that I never got to meet. And we don't have any pictures. I hear stories, you know, through family of certain people. But imagine how crazy it would be if I could go see my great-great-grandmother's grave and they had a slideshow of photos and things from her throughout her life. And I never got to...
Can I interrupt?
See, okay.
Imagine how great it would be if somebody in... I'm not talking to you. Okay. I'm just going to use the proverbial you.
Yeah.
Imagine how great it would be if somebody in your family showed you a photo of your of this person before you went to the damn cemetery.
Well, I get it, but if that's not always an option and that was a norm, say, years ago, I'm thinking in the future.
No, Rich, I don't want you coming to my grave looking at your phone. Okay? That's what's wrong with y'all, your generation.
You would be there at the grave physically. You'd have to be there to, you know, even tap into it.
But you said they put the barcode on the grave, right?
Yeah.
You at my grave looking at your phone?
Of you, though.
No, could you be at the grave... and be solemnly present.
I would still want to appreciate that personally. Now, I can't speak for everybody else that'd be doing it, but it would be about being there more than anything. But I'm just thinking of, you know, how crazy it would be to be able to see what the family and friends of people who have passed away, you know, have put together for this person throughout their lives. Because there's probably so many people, you know, with crazy, you know, cool stories and lives that they've lived. And it's just a way to honor them in a, you know, modern way now in my eyes. I think it could be a good thing. I don't know. What do y'all think out there? I feel like I'd love for our audience to chime in on this because I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. I think years down the line, we'll look back and be like, that's kind of cool.
And I think years down the line, we'll look back and say, this was a terrible idea. Technology, once again, has gone too far. And we brought a digital thing into some place where it was not necessary or needed.
Okay.
Okay? I don't want to walk by random people's graves and can scan a QR, what's it called?
QR code.
QR code. And we're turning great, like, cemeteries into what? What are we turning them into?
I mean, it's still a cemetery. It's just being able to tell the stories, kind of like a remembrance book or something. But they say they have options where you could, it doesn't have to be on a gravestone. It could be, you know, on a remembrance card or
I got a better idea. I got a better idea. Like why not create an app for families that they can go into and see these stories and be connected to their families without desecrating somebody's grave with a QR code?
So have it be more private sector.
Have it be more... or less sensational. Because if you want that information, you should be able to get that from your families, not from a grave site.
But, you know, in many families, there's a lot of disconnected families, you know? And, for instance, there's people that influenced my grandmother's life when she lived down in the South growing up that I've never known or got to meet, but may have all kinds of things from, you know, their experiences together that I don't even know exists. And I think it'd be real cool to see because I've heard these stories from my grandmother throughout my life. I've wanted to know more of my history, and Ancestry.com can only tell you so damn much. You know, 23andMe ain't telling you the stories and showing you pictures of what really these people looked like. I'm curious to know.
I say talk to your grandmother.
I do talk to her.
No, I'm not saying you don't. I'm not you, but I'm the proverbial saying. You. Talk to you. Talk to your people. This is another way for people not to have to talk to people.
What about people that have already passed away and you don't have the opportunity to be able to?
Well, how are you going to get their photo anyway?
You probably, some people can have them. That's what I'm saying. Anybody who does has the opportunity to add to the album. Mm-hmm. You know? I think within reason. I do like the idea of it having to maybe be something where a family has to give you access to be able to see them, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's a bad idea to honor people with a slideshow or something if you want. You don't have to take it up. But for the people
I may not be the right person for this because I don't really get into cemeteries.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of them either.
Like, this is going to sound terrible. Brace yourself.
Uh-oh.
But once we put your ass in the ground,
you're not going to come
I probably won't be back. Now, I carry you in my heart.
Yeah.
And in my mind.
Yeah.
But I have no attachment to a mound of earth.
I feel you.
I just don't.
Because their spirit's gone anyway.
And I have my mom died.
Yeah.
I have a younger brother who died. I have aunts, uncles. I do not go back to graves.
Yeah. It's just not your thing.
Not my thing.
I feel you.
I don't even understand what it is.
It brings up a lot too.
It's not emotional for me. I just feel no connection to that.
I feel you.
Like in my heart, yes.
Yeah. But you don't need to go to the grave for that.
No, I don't. You. It's just what is there? Like some bones in a casket? The spirit, the soul of the person
is what matters.
Is not there.
And love doesn't die in my eyes. So,
you know?
You know, so, it's one of those things where, like you said, it's just a mound at that point. The body's there. But if you, you know, believe in anything further than that, you know, they're on somewhere better, you know.
So. Next, they'll be trying to have, you know, tables and chairs and, you know.
Some people obviously have temples and stuff.
Serving drinks at the grave while you watch the video.
That's too much. That's
while you watch, while you scan the QR code.
Yeah. I mean, there are times
and
now
then,
where.
And then rich people will have, like, people come out and serve them. While they watch the
I did hear about a rapper's body or casket getting taken to his favorite strip club after he died a year or two ago. Now, that was one of the craziest, most ratchet things I think I've ever seen in my life. They took his casket to the strip club.
Really?
Swear to God.
And they were in there stripping?
They was turning up, ordering bottles, casket in the strip club, dancing. I'm like, where do they do that
at? Memphis. That sounds like something that would happen in Memphis.
Now we gotta Google it and find out where.
50 it Tyler was Memphis. Google this. I bet you $50 is in Memphis.
Or, I don't want to take that bet because it probably was.
You know. That's he's not even paying attention.
He's fired.
Yeah, he's totally fired. You're supposed to be producing this. He's not paying attention. What the hell's going on? You talk about graves, you gonna be in.
Oh man, woo! Y'all are so funny. So, yeah, no, I think that's a.
But here's the other thing. Let me add one more part to this, then we can move on. My other concern about this is whether or not it becomes about how much money you have.
Yeah.
Because now when you're buried, we're pretty much the same. Headstone may be bigger, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But now it's. Well, not only is my grandmother buried, we have a whole presentation. And your grandmother don't have that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we need to create these kind of differences in death that sort of crushed people in life.
I agree.
Just bury people, honor, love their memory, and let's not.
And nowadays, people have social media and other things that
extra.
You can do that on.
Yes, yeah. This is the point I'm trying. Thank you for coming around to
get
put some common sense now.
I get it, because there's already ways to honor them.
Thank you. You act like you've never heard of TikTok.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you're the king of Instagram.
I wouldn't be surprised if TikTok was behind this. I really wouldn't. Whatever the company is. Cork, I think the name was.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I think
Who
it's
knows?
Too much.
Yeah.
I think it's, if I drop dead, like, 15 minutes ago, mm-hmm. notice how I did that? 15 minutes ago?
Yeah.
And you put a damn QR code on my grave?
What if it had all your books, all your favorite books, and anybody who came to it got to learn about some amazing books? Would you appreciate it then?
Google.
But they're not going to know all of your favorite books. What if it was like your whole book collection, like your most valuable books to the world, and that was what you wanted to leave behind for people to see when they came to your grave? You don't think that would be valuable?
No.
No, not even for you. I thought I had you for a second.
No.
I thought I had you for a second. I know
you
feel about your books.
You reached, really.
I know how you feel about your books.
You're like,
so I was going to say.
Forget them with that. But no, I don't think the purpose of coming to my grave is to experience what I liked.
Yeah. Okay, I feel that.
You know, it's
more about what you were. And
yeah, it's about the connection to honor the.
I agree.
We don't honor age. We don't honor death.
Mm-hmm.
We don't honor history.
Yeah,
and we do it to our detriment in this culture.
Yeah,
you know, I think it's important to honor those.
Yeah.
Who have. There's a quote that says, "The rest of those who have gone before us cannot study the unrest of those who are sure to follow." Mm. And it's a brilliant quote.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we understand it in this country.
Yeah.
Come to my grave and do what you would not do if you were anywhere else.
Yeah.
Because this is not just any other place.
Mm-hmm.
It's my grave.
It's supposed to be a celebration of life.
It's supposed to. No, that was the funeral,
Rich. That's the funeral. Okay. But I'm curious as if that is something that's supposed to carry on whenever you have
solemnity, reverence.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Stand there. And accept the fact that I'm gone.
Mm.
And if you don't live your life the right way, you're going to end up right where I am, having never done all the things you should have and could have done.
That's the finality of it all.
Looking at pictures, you missing the message.
Yeah.
Huh? I got you.
Yeah, you got me.
Come on.
You got me. You're right. Okay. Well, we're going to stay overseas. A hospital over in France, according to Fox 5, evacuated because an elderly man came in with an explosive lodged in his rectum. Can you believe that?
Oh, God.
How the hell does that happen, right?
An explosive lodged in his rectum.
He was 88 years old. He arrived with a World War I artillery shell lodged in his rectum.
This is not real.
Yeah, and parts of the hospital were evacuated and emergency patients were diverted as they dealt with the situation.
That's not, I'm not even responding because I don't think this story is real.
The shell was 8 inches long and 2 inches wide.
That's so
and
much,
they removed it.
So much I could say.
They removed it and the patient is doing and was doing fine.
Did they ever discover how it got up there?
I don't know, but it was a World War I shell. I mean, I don't know. Has it been in there all his life?
Wow. That was not kind.
I'm curious, though. How do you get something from World War I lodged in your body without it happening way back then? How long ago was World War I? Jesus.
It's 1914.
14?
Yeah.
Oh, no. So that's impossible.
I'm just, you had to shit at some point. Right.
So if it's in your rectum, it's automatically going to come out? I don't think that that's the case. I'm sure stuff gets
That's
stuck.
The point I'm making. If it was in his rectum from 1914, he'd be dead for other reasons.
Yeah, you're right.
All that back up.
So how does that happen, man? What do you think he did? You think he keistered it?
What does that mean? What's keistered? What does keister mean?
I think I heard it in a movie. Isn't it somewhere where you put something up your butt and you...
Some people are into anal play.
Yeah.
Right?
World War I artillery.
Yes.
What?
Which, let me just say clearly, I'm all for. You know, there's a whole level of stimulation that can come from that. I don't know why an 80-year-old man would still be into anal play. And I don't know why you would do it with... artillery. Doesn't look at you, you're about to fall out the chair for black.
Because this is crazy.
I don't understand like any of that. It sounds like he was abused, like somebody probably did this to him. I'm hoping somebody did
not.
This to him. Is it a better story if he did it to himself?
I don't know if it makes it better or worse. It's all pretty much in the same category.
I don't know how you do that.
For me, yeah, me neither. Imagine the call to the family. Your father's in here.
And we have a little incident.
Yeah.
he's got an artillery shell up his ass.
And from the looks of it, it looks like it's from about 1914. This is a 110-year-old bullet we got in here. I don't know where he got that from, but you should come pick him up. He should probably only eat soft foods for the rest of his life.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that happens. But I'm glad he ended up okay. And glad, you know.
I say, okay, so I got a funny one for us to end on.
Well, let me ask before you get to that.
Okay, go ahead.
What are your thoughts about people doing what might be considered like kinky stuff?
I mean, power to whoever wants to do whatever they do behind closed doors, as long as it's not hurting anybody else and everybody involved is consenting to it. I give people freedom to do whatever they do, you know?
But is there a line between doing what is kinky and adventurous and doing what is potentially dangerous?
Because
this
is
dangerous.
So, for sure. Yeah, no.
How do you tell the difference between what is you know, freaky and what is dangerous?
I think one thing I've learned, especially from being in entertainment, is that humans will always push the limits of whatever is out there. Naturally, I feel like as humans, whatever field it is, people are gonna test the boundaries of whatever field that is.
Yeah, I got that. But
you know,
how do you tell the difference in what is freaky and what is dangerous?
I think it's all a personal preference. I think when you can be harmed, which some people like harm, so that's why I'm saying, I don't know, your pain tolerance may be different than the next person's pain tolerance. So I think it's a matter of personal preference. And when somebody is at a point where they feel like they're being harmed or they're in pain, you know, past the pleasure threshold, that's where it should be cut off. Anything past that, you're dealing with dangerous territory.
See, I have a different standard.
Okay.
Okay. Although I think pain is a good indication that something's probably wrong. But I think if you start teetering into what is unreasonable,
Okay. But that's everybody. That's subjective.
But so is everything pertaining to sex. So you're that's right. not.
That's I mean, what I mean.
All of sexuality and sex is subjective.
You're right.
But I'm saying when you get to the place where you have entered into your own personal unreasonableness, you should probably say
when it starts to feel unreasonable. You to
should
you.
Probably say an orgasm is not worth what this is going to cost me. Okay, how long does an orgasm last? Google this. How
long? The average one probably what? A few seconds. Yeah, probably.
Well, let's talk about men right now. We'll do women next.
I'm giving it 2.5 seconds.
Yeah, five. It don't take long. It don't take long for me, people. Mine don't last that long, okay? My equipment's a little older, and it kind of comes and goes. Like, and I'm just, as wonderful as it is, why are you laughing so intense?
I'm laughing because this is hilarious.
But, did you figure it out?
Twenty-two seconds? Who's orgasm?
Mine don't last that long.
Look, audience, we need y'all to chime in on this one because if anybody out there is
Google is a lie.
10 seconds plus. 20, I'm a
22 seconds.
Wow, that got to be you the greatest had a orgasm on earth. Orgasm? Hell no.
I wish I
would
did.
Be trying to orgasm right now if I had a 22-second orgasm.
Me too. I ain't gonna lie.
22 seconds sound like he. I don't know what happened there. That got to be a world record. Got to be in the Guinness Book of World Records.
That probably takes a World War One artillery shell up your ass for it to last 22 seconds. 22 seconds? This is an example of Google being wrong.
That's why you got to watch out for Google, y'all. You don't know what Google might tell you. I don't know. I don't want to see evidence, but
how long does
man,
it take
that's
how long
crazy.
Is a woman's orgasm?
I don't know.
How long is the woman orgasm?
18 to 22.
Really? Jesus. Seems like they gone forever.
I must be doing something wrong. That don't sound right.
Seems like they just gone forever. Like, just
18 to 22 seconds is crazy.
Yeah. So
wow.
I have no idea. I have no idea what we're supposed to be talking about.
I don't
about
even
right
remember
now.
The subject no more. That just but blew the, my mind.
The 22
oh, yeah, the old
orgasm.
Man. Happened. Yeah. Woo. That's a
sound man. How long is your orgasm?
22 seconds got to be a record somewhere.
Listen,
that's crazy. Yeah, 22 seconds.
So for me, that'll be later.
22 seconds.
I'm gonna have to watch out later. Like,
yeah,
how long
like
this takes.
That's got to be man. I would love to hear y'all.
I remember. It is about shut up. It's about reasonableness.
Reasonableness. Wow. Right? And now we go back to reasonableness after talking about 22 seconds.
You know, when you're doing things that are sort of really, really unreasonable and you know it. And the point I was making was everything, even sex, should have a cost benefit analysis.
Yeah.
And climax feels great and it's wonderful, even though it doesn't last 22 seconds.
So not
but it may
average.
Not be worth you like trying to choke yourself.
Yeah.
To get there.
There's people that be want to be on the verge of like passing out.
I know. That's I know. Crazy. Listen, you choke me.
Nothing sounds pleasurable about
that. I'm going to slap you right in the middle of the sex. Get your
But I feel like
that.
It puts other people in a dangerous position because if you pass out, your partner could be very worried about you. What are they supposed to do? Now it could look, it's just not a good, doesn't look like a good situation to be in. You can put somebody else in real trouble.
People do a lot of crazy things for 22 seconds.
Yeah, no, they do. And you know what's crazy? On that note, I feel like we should wrap the show up because that was a hell of a note to end on. I'm very curious to hear what our viewers feel about this whole debacle we just embarked on. 22-second orgasms, World War One artillery shoved up 88-year-old, you know, men's
asses.
Yeah, I was trying to avoid saying
nothing wrong with asses.
88-year-old butts with World War One artillery and 22-second orgasm.
Okay, thank you for tuning in, everybody. I need to wrap this up. Listen, if your orgasm isn't lasting 22 seconds, you might want to work on it because that's what Google says is how long it should last.
The average.
Thank you for tuning in. It's been great to have you. We'll be back with more because there's always more ridiculous, crazy, interesting things going on in the world. And let me just say, don't get on the train with your pants off.
Man, not in the winter especially. Unless everybody else is doing it.
No, not unless everyone. Didn't we just talk about this? While we're off the air, I'm going to get him better on the idea of
that
peer pressure.
Me. That was Tyler. Y'all don't know Tyler, but Tyler.
All right, folks. See you next time.